Hi, I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today's interview is with Patty Sofer. Patty started her career as a successful fashion model. She worked her way through various other business activities and educational activities, and then went on to found the award-winning ad agency Sofer Adkins. Now Patty is a best-selling author and much more. Patty, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. And I'm only a best-selling author now because I hit a roadblock of major proportion.
Well,
I splattered up against a wall, and that's what made me a best-selling author.
You know, it's interesting how those things happen, and it's interesting what we learn when those things happen and what we do about them. So tell us about where you got stuck, how you got stuck, a little bit about your background, and tell us your story.
Okay, well, happy to. As you said, I was a small-town girl, went to New York, went to the big city, did incredibly well there as a fashion model, and that business is all based on self-employment. And that was the business model I learned from the time I was 18 until I was in my early 30s, and it was just a natural thing for me to segue into other businesses that I owned because I had never worked for anybody. When you're a model, you work for yourself. It's you hire an agent, they work for you. So once that ended, I moved to Florida, and my second business was a retail store where I learned very, very quickly what I did not like to do and what I wasn't good at. So my smartest business move there was to hire the best manager I could find and give her the store, and it ended up being a great success. I got divorced shortly thereafter and had two young children that I looked at, and I understood that they eat and they need to go to school, and there's certain things I was supposed to provide for them. So I went to college finally at 36, graduated at 40, and really found out an enormous amount about what I was capable of doing, what my talents were, and what my desires were. And it was not too long after that, for a variety of reasons, that I ended up opening an ad agency with a young man who I had done some freelance work with, a graphic designer, a terrific friend of mine. I mean, we just bonded instantly. He was young enough to be my son. And we formed this agency. And we managed to catch a wave in Florida. Well, I live in Miami, and we managed to catch that real estate wave that just took everybody to the height of the, you know, of the wave and then crashed us all on the rocks. I'm sure you've heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But prior to that happening, about a year or two prior to 2009, which I think is when Hank Paulson came on television and told us all the party was over with. I believe that was in October of 2009. A couple of years prior to that, we had a business that was one of the top 500 hot businesses in the country, or so said Entrepreneur magazine. We were leading the pack in real estate advertising. We came up with a lot of innovative and creative ways to market and sell real estate. So we had accounts not just in Florida, but all over up and down the East Coast. And like most small businesses, we started probably over cocktails. We'd known each other for a couple of years, and it was like, let's start a business. So we did, and we didn't do any planning other than that. I knew what I knew about him. He knew what he knew about me, and we got caught up in this momentum. Actually, our first big client was Marriott. This was in 2001, and of course, September 11th, Marriott lost one of their big properties, and everybody in the world stopped air travel. So that was the first roadblock we came up against, and we were able to say, okay, hospitality isn't going to be where we make our money now. What else is going on out there? And of course, the real estate market was really starting to bubble. So we grabbed that, and that grabbed us, and I can't begin to tell you how fast and furious this company grew. I mean, we went from five, from him, his brother, me, my sister, and one other person to a 40-person agency within maybe five short years. And you're a businessman, so you understand how dangerous growth really is. It's the most dangerous time in any business. People get all excited about it, and oh my God, we've got these clients and we've got all of this business and we're billing all of this money. But really, you don't keep much of it because you have no idea what you're doing at that point. And at that point, my part, you're laughing. You've been there, haven't you?
You know, we see this all the time. And one of the hardest conversations to have with a client who's struggling to pay bills, and I have this conversation with regularity, is what are you going to do if you get an order tomorrow that will increase your business by 50%? Mm-hmm. Right?
And everybody goes, oh, I'm going to take it.
Exactly.
And Wrong answer.
And I say, how are you going to deliver on your promise to your customer?
And nobody gets that. Nobody understands that. And we certainly didn't. And not only that, but my area of expertise has evolved into the partnership arena, which nobody really wants to talk about. Everybody has a partnership story. Oh, the guy's a jerk. I don't want to be around him and I'll never do it again. That's not the right way to handle things either. However, my partner and I were just rolling along. Inertia just took us along. We took every single account that would increase our business by 50%. We took it. Why? Because we didn't know any better. Because we grew too fast. Because we did no planning for the business. But the biggest sin we committed was we did no planning in the partnership. And you know what, David? Most people don't. Most people just... It's such a casual thing. You know, you hook up with your wife and open a business, or maybe you got a college friend that you hook up with and you think you know people, or you think you know everything about how they're going to be in a business, and that's not true. So what really destroyed me was not the economy. It was my partnership collapse. And I wrote a book about it. It just occurred to me why, you know, that I was too old, I've been in life too long to just let this thing slip away without understanding what the roadblocks were and how I was going to fix them. So, you know, problem number one was, what the hell happened? Here was this person who was one of my dearest friends in life, and we had worked together as a team so seamlessly for so long. How could everything turn to shit? And I hate to use the word, but that became the title of my book. I realized that our partnership was suffering from what I call partner shit. Nonsensical, stupid things that human beings don't take the time to understand about each other, and they get in the way. It's like, you know, the couple who fights over the china when they get divorced. Nobody even cares about the china. It's exactly like that in the business too. And I can't tell you how fast we went downhill. The whole collapse of this partnership into partnership was less than a year. And it was like, I don't know if you've ever been to Aspen, if you ski a black diamond and you're going as fast as you can and you just don't know how to stop and you see the trees and you see the rocks, that's exactly what it was for us. And when the whole thing hit the rocks and we ended up splitting up, it was about a year and a half before I finally closed the business. And during that time, I was struggling to save the business. And then the economy came along and killed the real estate market in Florida and killed the hospitality market. And that was it. But I came out of it. I felt like I had been beaten up. I felt bruised. I felt battered. I was emotionally destroyed. My health was destroyed. My relationships suffered. My income was destroyed. My finances were destroyed. My social standing, my ability, my identity. I mean, everything about me, everything I had spent my entire life building, just was like a puddle around my feet. And I was like, whoa, what is this all about? And instead of saying, you know, screw this, who cares, we'll just move on, pay the bills and move on. I got stuck with the bills, by the way. It's called joint and several. I'm sure you talk to your people about that.
Yes.
But in any case, I couldn't let it go. I had to know what exactly happened and why would something that was so great, that we loved so much, that we worked so hard to accomplish, why would it hit a brick wall like that and neither one of us could stop it? And, you know, I went out there into the world. I'm a big reader, and, of course, the internet is available, and, you know, just about anything you want to know is on the, you know, you do long chain keywords and you can figure out how to make chicken soup. I mean, it's like that. The internet is like that. but there was nothing out there about why a partnership hits the skids that wasn't written either by an attorney from a legal standpoint or by a financial person from an investment and finance stand. And I realized that those weren't the problems. The problem was that we had not bothered to build, I call it a human foundation, and I don't even know where that term came from, but it just fell in my lap one night. We had not bothered to build the human foundation of our business. We had never really sat and talked about the very simple and very basic things that partners, that people need to know about each other before you sign on the dotted line. And truthfully, whether it's a marriage or a limited partnership or a project partnership, or, you know, there are many different ways to work together, but you basically got to know some things about each other. And that roadblock was so painful for me and so intense that I literally went on the road and I went to every business seminar I could go to. I went to every feel-good seminar. I went to, you know, I worked with financial people. I worked with psychologists to understand the psychology of it, with CEOs, you know, read every book I could read about it. And I was really looking for a solution, not for a Band-Aid, or I was really looking for, how am I going to break through this? I know I can't have the business back, but how am I going to go ahead and regain my self-confidence and regain my mojo that I had spent my whole life building? It was unbelievable. And I am, I guess, 5 years out now. What is this, 2014? Over a period of 5 years, I came up with a solution. I wrote the book, I wrote a workbook, and I'm now doing an online course because I know that it doesn't exist. I'm putting up a course that people can take. It'll be out in a few months, where people can really go there and they can look at this and they can ask these very, very key questions. And I came up with over 100 questions that I didn't know the answer to. It wasn't totally scientific. I just sat down and there were two basic questions I had to ask myself. What didn't I know about my partner? But more importantly, what didn't I know about myself? And that was the basis for getting through this mess and coming out the other side with a real fierce understanding of what went wrong. And my heart broke, not just for us, but it breaks for every small business out there, whether it's a family business or a small business with two or three or four partners or a strategic alliance. It just broke my heart that most people are looking in the wrong place for the answers. They're looking to the accountants and they're looking to the lawyers. Certainly, that's a key part of any business. I mean, that is a very critical part of any business. But nobody was looking at themselves, first and foremost. And nobody was asking the other person. More importantly, nobody was listening. And it just broke my heart. It just absolutely broke my heart. Because how much time do you spend every day on your business?
Well, most business owners, that's pretty much all they think about.
That's all they think about. So
all the time. They may not be actively working in the business 24/7, but boy, do they think about it 24/7.
Constantly. And the other thing is, I realized that partnership wasn't just between my partner and I. You take it home with you. You take it to dinner with you, with your friends. You take it out on your kids. You know, you don't sleep at night. You can't eat. You're worried. You're stressed. You know, all of those things. When I realized 5 years later, all we had to do was sit in a room, lock ourselves in a room, and really talk to each other and get to the bottom of it. And I know, as sure as I know my own name, that had we done that, our business would still be thriving. I don't know that I want it anymore, you know, knowing what I know, but I do know that just these two basic questions, what didn't I know about him and what didn't I know about myself, opened a whole world to me. And I really believe that small business people have to look at that before they rent the office, before they commit to the partner, before they order the logo. I mean, I'm a brand specialist, so for Adkins was branding. I can't tell you how many calls we would get from people. Well, we need a logo and a website. And I go, okay, well, what business are you in? Well, we're making pocketbooks. But what business are you really in? Nobody understands what business they're really in. In other words, why am I in this particular business? What's my motivation? You got to go really kind of deep into your psyche to understand what motivates you. right? It's like you can own a restaurant and I can own a restaurant and we're in the restaurant business, but we're really not, because you might be in the business of preserving people's health because maybe your father ate too much fat and died of a heart attack, right? Or maybe I'm in the restaurant business because my uncle was the king of New York and he was a party guy and he was a great host. Those are two completely different businesses. And you only understand these things about your business when you understand these things about yourself. And for me, I think any business, I tend to specialize in small businesses. I'm not a corporate person, never have been, and I don't think I would know how to be that. But in small businesses, I see it every single day where this is not anything anyone pays attention to until it's time to break up. And then everyone's going to fight over the china. I saw some statistics with the SBA, and it's hard to parse these statistics to understand, you know, the cause of a failure, you know, what's responsible. But it's almost $8 billion in the United States alone and counting, the cost of failure of partnership businesses in the United States. That makes me sick.
Because it's a lot of money.
Only a lot of money, but if you listen to any of the politicians, I try not to, but if you listen to the logic from the Fed, I try not to, but if you listen, if your common sense takes over, we know that America is a small business economy.
It's the driving force of our economy.
Absolutely. So if you take $8 billion out of that economy because of partnership, and I'm not saying it's all because of that, but I can tell you it's a lot because of that. You take that money out of an economy and, you know, we're not doing so well. I would recommend that people look at their partner and go, you know, what do you like to do? What are you good at? What pisses you off? What do you refuse to do? Where do you get your energy? How do you define success? How do you define failure? What does money mean to you? What business are we in? Why are we in this business? You know, I mean, there's over 100 questions that I came up with, and I've arranged them in a logical order because people think logically and chronologically. And I start with characterization, which is understanding yourself first. Because what's the business about? Business is not about clients it's about clients, but it's not about your computers or your office space or even your product. A business is about people, and it's about people, only about people. Every business problem is a people problem. Every single one of them, even if it's a tech problem, it's a people problem. And every solution comes from people too. Yet I see it all the time. The ones who do plan, and there are companies that do plan, they'll plan a business strategy. They'll plan a brand strategy. They'll plan a financial strategy. They'll even be smart enough to go to a lawyer and plan an exit strategy, but they won't plan a people strategy. They don't think about it.
Not only does it make perfect sense, but do you think that it's only when partnerships have problems that people recognize how Absolutely. Important an issue it is?
Absolutely.
Because you've been an entrepreneur for many, many years before this happened to you, and it was your wake-up call.
Yeah.
But why didn't you delve into this earlier in your career as an example?
Because I didn't know any better. This was my first partnership. Most of what I did prior to that, I was either a sole proprietor or, like I said, I would hire an agent or a representative to represent me in the television and film world. This was my first partnership. I really thought I had my stuff together, and I got into this thing, and I was the grown-up in the relationship. My partner, gosh, he was 25 years younger than me. He was a kid. And it just never occurred to me, because I had seen businesses out there. I was married to a real estate developer who developed most of Miami and a lot of the big hospitality hotels around the country and malls and real estate. So I saw that family partnership. And they're still together, but they fight like crazy. But you know what? It works for them, because I'm not saying everybody, it's not a kumbaya situation that I'm talking about here. Everybody, every partnership, every business has its own personality, and it has what works for it and what doesn't. For my ex-husband's family business, I mean, if you sat in a meeting with them, you would be horrified. But for those of us who grew up around it, we understand that it's normal. But the bottom line is they really know each other. They really know what each other wants. And when they screw up, and of course, they play big, so they screw up big. It's $1 billion or more company. But when they do, they band together and they stick together. In a small business, it's too easy to say, you know what, screw you. I'm just going to take over and you know, I'll call the lawyer and get you out of there. I can't tell you how expensive that is in every single way, beyond money. It's just the most expensive thing I've ever encountered in my life. So I didn't know any better. And I'm telling you right now that your listeners don't know any better because nobody's talking about this.
Patty, how do you define partnership?
Oh, I have a beautiful definition for partnership, and everybody has to have their own. To many, partnership has a legal or financial definition. For me, it's so much more. Partnerships are about people. My definition is that the partnership must be human. Partnership means having a clear, defined relationship with yourself first, and then it becomes the merging of minds, souls, dreams, talents, wants, desires, skills, and futures, where the outcomes are mutually decided upon for the betterment of all people involved. If you go to a lawyer, a partnership is going to be you're either an LLC, you're a 501c3, you're a sub-S, you're a C-Corp. That's their definition of a partnership. I wrote a whole chapter about what is a partnership, and there are so many funny definitions out there. In particular, like the Internal Revenue Service. A partnership is the relationship existing between two or more persons who join to carry on trade or business. Doesn't that sound like the IRS?
It sure does.
Okay. So then the Revised Uniform Partnership Act of 1994, an association of two or more persons engaged in a business enterprise in which the profits and losses are shared proportionally. The legal definition of a partnership is generally stated as blah, blah, blah. Does that not sound like the government?
It sure does.
Okay, then the SBA goes, a partnership is a single business where two or more people share ownership. Okay, cool. My favorite came from the Urban Dictionary. I love this definition. Partnership, a mutual business. Okay, Joe, look here. We three robbed that damn bank. Share for three? No, that's bad. Kill the third. Then we kill another. And then there's no need for me to share. And I call this partnership. So you see, everybody has their own definition. And it took me, I had to write this whole book before I could circle back and go, oh my God, my definition of a partnership has totally changed. So we talk about souls and dreams and talents and wants and desires and skills and futures. That's not woo-woo. That's human nature. And a lot of people in business are afraid of human emotion. What do you think we're all about? And you can't separate business from people. Business is personal. It is absolutely personal. And you know what? It's not just the relationship you have with your partner. It's the relationship you have with your employees, with your bank, with your clients, with your subcontractors, with your vendors. Those are all human relationships. And without that, I don't think you have a business. Not that I could see, unless I've missed something.
Oh, look, many people who are quote-unquote sole proprietors who think that they're the only one in the business, when you start asking them questions about who else is involved, it turns out that they have often a huge team.
Nobody can do anything alone. And when I say this, when I give my lectures or teach my courses, everybody will look at me and they'll go, oh, yes, we can. What about that? And they're always talking about something sexual or I sleep alone. Let's use I sleep alone. No, you don't. Because who made that bed? Who made the sheets that you're snuggled up in? Who created that television set? And who's performing on that set for your benefit? You know what I mean?
We
don't do anything alone. And then my favorite is you're born alone and you die alone. That's nonsense too. You're not born alone. I've given birth. Let me tell you what, there are more people in that delivery room than were in my restaurant last night, right? And my mother and father both just passed recently. They didn't pass alone. And when they shut their eyes, there was someone on the other side to get them. So this whole idea of, I'm alone, I'll just do this alone, is absolutely without merit whatsoever.
So that actually leads me to another question, which is, so you had this unraveling of your partnership, mm-hmm. and you did figure out why it went wrong and what needs to happen the next time so that mm-hmm. it works much better. And you mm-hmm. also have created this amazing platform and system so that anybody else who's in a partnership can also understand what they should be doing to make it better.
Correct.
Who helped you, since you're not, no one acts alone, who helped you to get unstuck and figure out how to put the pieces back together and to create something new and better?
Well, I traveled really the world, and I was like, where am I going to go for these answers? And I figured you go to the people who are the best at what they do, right? So I went and I spent time and took courses with everybody from Seth Godin to Deepak Chopra to Tony Robbins to Keith Cunningham. But I went to the best in business. I went to the best in health. I went to the best in wealth management. I went to the best, or I figured the best, in finance. And finance and wealth management are two completely different things.
Yes, and, they are.
Yeah, and I took copious notes. I didn't go there with the intention of writing a book to solve this problem. I was just so lost, and I had hit such a wall. I had like face planted into this roadblock. I was like, how am I going to get past this? Because, you know, I was very angry, and my first instinct was to blame my partner. And let me tell you, it's like nobody wanted to be around me because I was just exuding this negative energy. I was blaming. And when I realized that wasn't going to work, I had to learn how, you know, why. And the biggest lesson that I learned from all of these people is accountability, is to just be accountable. Whether, you know, you can say, oh, my stupid financial advisor lost all my money in the market. Wrong. You need to be accountable for what that person did for you. Or, oh my God, you know, my wife spent all the money and sold the car and ran off with the pool man. It's all her fault. Wrong. You've got to be accountable for the part you played in that. So based on a platform, the very simple platform of accountability, that became like a resounding theme for me. So every time I went to a lecture, every time I attended a seminar, every time I went to, I even crashed some business meetings of people whose businesses I respect, where I would just say, hey, could I sit in and see what it is that you do well? Every master in every discipline was accountable. The rest were just players. And the accountability factor is just huge. And, you know, it's the hardest thing to get and the hardest thing to admit, because you've got to admit that maybe you've been wrong about a couple of things, which we don't like to do. But it's also where your freedom is. Once you accept that you are accountable, then you are totally free to move about the universe with no problem whatsoever.
Patty, since you have created your books and disseminated your messages to the world, mm-hmm. what's happened?
Well, I am out, I'm lecturing, I'm speaking, I'm teaching. I will only really work with companies that are willing to do the work. Working on this online platform is going to help not just me, but anybody else who wants to do this, because there's only one of me and I can't be everywhere. And it's not something that I can really teach. It just is what it is. And so I'm doing that. I am still doing a whole lot of training with different people. I want to stay on top of the whole experts trend, and I really want to be of value and of service to people. My favorite, I have two favorite things I like to do. One is work with startup businesses, and you know they have no money. They're starting up. But I really, that's my passion, is to work with new businesses of people who are just excited and ready to go out there and take on the world, and they'll have a clue what they're doing. So I love to guide them, but the only way I can guide them is to work also with my second favorite group, which is a business in a growth spurt, where they're still excited, they're still happy, and those clients that are going to increase your revenues by 50% are circling around the wagon, and they want to jump on it. That's the group I like to work with. They have money, they can afford me, and I leave them way better than I found them.
Who do you know who is currently working on something that you're especially excited about and why?
Oh, wow. That's an unbelievable question. There is a man out there who I consider my mentor, my biggest mentor. His name is Brendan Burchard. And Brendan is a kid from Montana. I'm from North Dakota, so we get that whole Midwestern vibe. Brendan is probably the best teacher I have ever had in my life. And he started out by teaching people how to be experts, how to be a speaker, how to be a writer, how to be a podcasts, how-to thing. He has evolved into how to be a human being. And for me, that is the most exciting thing that is going on in this whole world. Because if we don't learn how to shift ourselves from this is just business into this is business and it's personal and it's about people, then we're in big trouble. Business is a bitch. There's no question about it. But it's your bitch. And it's up to you to make that the best thing in the world to serve the most people. Because if you don't, you'll be out of business. So I think Brendan Burchard would be my answer.
Yeah, he does have a very remarkable story, and you're so right. It's a simple but very powerful message, as is yours.
Thank you. I hope so.
So Patty, thank you again for being a guest today on Smashing the Plateau.
It's my honor to even be asked to be your guest. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.